four verses here in 1 Corinthians 14, and then we'll pray. Let's do this. Let's let the children be dismissed to junior church and also to toddler church this morning. We'll let all the children be dismissed. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. By the way, let me say this as we get going this morning. This is not a message on tongues this morning. Although 1 Corinthians 14 is a chapter about tongues, and we will mention it, but it is not. That is not why we're here this morning. We're here to continue our series on sharpening our purpose as a local New Testament church. And if you have a bulletin, you have the outline on the back for this morning's message, and you'll see there we have said that our purpose is threefold. It's to evangelize the sinner, it's to exalt the Savior, and thirdly, it is to enlarge the saints. It is to help saints to grow. And that's what we've been looking at, is the enlargement of the saints. And last Sunday night, we looked at the first element of enlarging the saints, and that is to encourage each other. And if you'll remember last Sunday night, we said that we encourage each other through unity, through generosity, and through audacity. And by the way, not rudeness, but boldness. That's what the word means. And so we encourage each other that way. And this morning, we want to see the second element of enlarging the saints, and that is the word edify. Edifying each other in the truth. And so let's look at these four verses, and then we'll get into the message this morning. The Bible says, follow after charity. We've just come out of the great love chapter in chapter number 13, and he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. And that's what we want to speak about this morning, being edified by and through and because of the truth. Let's pray and ask God to help this morning. Father, we sure do love you today. We're grateful for your goodness. We're grateful for the opportunity to be able to gather together. And Lord, just to learn one more time how to be sharpened as a church, and more specifically, how to be sharpened in our purpose. And Father, I pray that we would be constantly thinking about our purpose as a Christian, our purpose as a local New Testament church, and that is to evangelize the sinner. That is to exalt our wonderful Savior, and it is to enlarge the saints, to help them grow, to build them up. And Father, I pray that we would be reminded of that one more time this morning. Father, we sure do love you. I pray that you would remove the arm of flesh from every single one of us this morning, from the preacher to the listener. Father, that we would be yielded to the Spirit, that we would listen to what the Word has to say. We would listen to the prompting of the Spirit this morning. And Father, if you do a work in our hearts, I pray that we would move. I pray that we would be different. I pray that we would be ready to make a change if that would be necessary this morning. Father, I pray for that one or two or maybe even several this morning that are gathered here who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. If death were to take them today, they have no confidence, they have no assurance of their eternal destination. And if that would be the case, I pray that those individuals would get that settled today. I pray that they would know once and for all that their sins have been washed beneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that today might be their day of salvation, their spiritual birthday. We love you, Lord. We commit these next few moments to you. We're asking your blessings upon them. And we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We all know and understand what the term enlarge means. Enlarge means simply to make bigger. And the Scriptures are constantly speaking of how a Christian should be increasing in their likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So look, if you want to talk about predestination, predestination is not about who's going to heaven and about who's going to hell. Predestination is that every person that comes to Christ is predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. We are to be becoming more and more like Christ on a daily basis. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and we'll look at this passage a little bit later in the message this morning. The Bible says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith." That's edification right there. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. But how are the saints enlarged? How are we made bigger? How do we grow into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? We've already mentioned it. And by the way, these are not exhaustive. Someone may could give many, many more elements to this, but we have broken them down into three elements. Last Sunday night, we looked at encouraging through trials. Every single one of us, every single Christian in here this morning, we go through trials. And what do we need when we go through trials? We need encouragement. We need another believer, we need a fellow believer to come alongside and to encourage us. And we saw that in the book of Acts. Look, they had experienced their first persecution. Peter and John had been persecuted. And the Bible says they came back to their company, to the local church, and they told them what had happened. And the local church prayed, and they encouraged each other. And then this morning, how do we enlarge the saints? By edifying with and through the truth. Tonight, Lord willing, we're going to look at the third element, and that is the word equipping. We need to equip each other with the tools that we need to live the Christian life. And so this morning, let's begin to look at this word or this truth about being edified by the truth. Again, I hope you have a bulletin. I hope you can follow along this morning. Number one, I want us to see this. I want us to see the subject defined. The subject defined. We're talking about edified by the truth. We should have no problem with the word truth today. John 17:7 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Anybody know the rest of that verse? Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We shouldn't have any issue with the word truth this morning. Truth is found in the Word of God. By the way, this ought to be our truth this morning. If anybody ought to be able to find truth, they ought to be able to come here and find truth. Because the Bible says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. If someone wants to know how to be saved, they ought to be able to come to a church and know how to be saved. Now, that's not always the case, is it? No. Because there's a lot of churches that teach a lot of different things. There's a lot of churches that teach that you have to do good works to be saved. There are churches that teach that you have to put money in the offering plate to be saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're saved by faith, that we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Ephesians 2 tells us. The Bible says that we're saved by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood that was shed on the cross is sufficient to wash away my sin. I'm not good enough to wash away my sin. And none of us are. Think about this morning. And look, the message this morning is for believers. But listen, friend, if you're here without Christ, I would beg you to be saved today. God's standard is perfection. Okay, that's God's standard. Perfection. None of us can ever meet that. But Jesus Christ met it. Jesus Christ is the only one that ever lived upon this earth and lived a sinless and perfect life. And that was necessary because when He went to the cross of Calvary, it was His perfect blood that was shed as a sacrifice for my sin. And that blood needs to be applied to my life by simple faith and repentance, simply coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let me ask you this morning, have you ever called upon the Lord? Have you ever? I'm not talking about praying every day. That's a good thing, and we ought to pray every day. But I'm asking, was there a time in your life when you understood, hey, I'm a sinner, I deserve hell, that's where I'm headed at this very moment, but I know that Christ came, I know that He died on the cross, I know that He shed His blood, I know that through Him I can have forgiveness and remission of sin, and at that moment you simply cried out to Christ to save you. By the way, that's what the publican did in the temple. He said, "God, have mercy upon me, a sinner." And the Bible says he went home saved. He went home justified. The Pharisee that was in the temple with him didn't go home justified. The Pharisee that was in the temple, he looked at the publican and he said, God, I'm thankful that I'm not like him. I'm not a sinner. I give my tithes. I pray and I fast and I do all of these things. And the Bible says that Pharisee went home unsaved because he was basing his salvation upon everything that he did and not upon what God can do. Friend, Jesus Christ paid it all. He paid it all. And all we have to do is receive it. By the way, believer, the song says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. All to him I owe. We're looking at the subject defined this morning. We know what truth is. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. But what about the word edified? What does that word mean? And we're going to see here in 1 Corinthians 14, that word edification is mentioned six different times in six different verses here in 1 Corinthians 14. What does that word edify mean? First of all, it means to build. It means to build. You've ever heard of the word edifice? That's the word. Edify means to build up. And by the way, edifice, it means a building, but it means an imposing building. It means a big building. It means a large structure. It means a grand structure. Edify means to build. And that's what we do in the local New Testament church is we build each other up and we do it through the truth. We teach each other the Word of God. Sunday school teachers teach their children the Word of God. Master Club teachers on Wednesday night teach their children the Word of God so that they can be built as a Christian. By the way, this is just a side note this morning. But when we think of the word edifice and we think of the word building, contractors, when they build, they want to build their best, don't they? They want a beautiful edifice, don't they? Okay, that ought to be no different for the child of God. Should it? Absolutely not. The child of God should want to be a grand display of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in His building. So number one, it means to build. Number two, it means to grow. Edify means to grow. Number three, edify means to teach. It means to build. It means to grow. It means to teach. And all of those have the idea, whether it's building, we're building something up. Whether it's growing, there's going to be produce, there's going to be a crop, there's going to be a harvest. We're taking something small and we're making it bigger. We're making it bigger. Look, when a person gets saved, they're a child. They're a babe in Christ, the Bible says. But they ought to be growing into a mature adult in their spiritual lives. Amen? You with me this morning? Look, if you're telling, we mentioned this recently. Look, if you had had a baby, and 3 or 4 years later that baby is still a baby, you would have a problem, wouldn't you? You would be wondering, wouldn't you? Because naturally that child, it's a baby. It may be 7, 8, 9 pounds when it's born, but look, after a few months, and after a year, and after 2 years, it ought to be growing. It ought to be bigger. If there's not, there's a problem. Well, that's the same thing in the Christian life. Edify means to build, it means to grow, and it means to teach. And by the way, every believer needs to be an edifier and an edifyee. I don't even think that's a word, but I made it a word this morning. Needs to be an edifier and an edify. We need to be edifying each other, and we need to be allowing others to edify us. That's what the church is all about. We edify and we allow others to edify us, to build us, to grow us, to teach us. The subject defined. And by the way, all of this is accomplished with and through and by the truth. There are other materials by which we build and grow and teach. Love, grace, mercy, all of those are materials. But there is no doubt, and the Scriptures leave no doubt, that the main ingredient is truth. And that's what we find in 1 Corinthians 14. So number one, we see the subject defined. Number two, we see the supremacy declared. And I'm talking about the supremacy of the Word of God. We already read verses 1 through 4. Now, we're not going to read the entirety of chapter number 14, but what Paul is doing in chapter number 14 is he is making it known that the preaching of the Word is the greatest gift. in the Corinthian church, they were focused on this gift of tongues. And the Apostle Paul comes along and says, hey, that's fine. That's fine if you have the gift of tongues. I'm not against that, the Apostle Paul says. However, some of you are using that at the detriment of the local church. The Bible says in verse number 4, he says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth who? Himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. He said, look, when the Word of God is given and preached so that someone can understand it, that's when the church is edified. Not when someone or many someones speak in tongues and nobody knows what they're talking about. He said, that's not the greatest gift. The greatest gift is the preaching of God's Word. Verse number 5. He said, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. He said, look, there are many languages in the world. All of them are significant. But if you can't understand them, it doesn't help you. Here's the truth this morning. If someone came in this morning and stood from the pulpit and spake Portuguese and preached Portuguese, the vast majority of us would get nothing from the service, would we? Anybody in here know Portuguese? If Miss Doris was here, she knew Portuguese. Look, none of us know Portuguese. Now, if a man came and preached and stood and preached in Portuguese, and right here he has an interpreter interpreting in English, we would understand. That's Paul's point. Paul's point is, look, we preach so that people can understand, because if they can't understand, they're not going to be edified. They're not going to be built up. They're not going to be taught. They're not going to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. He said, look, it's a wonderful thing that you're zealous of gifts. He said, but you ought to be zealous of that which edifies and excels in edifying the church, is exceptional in edifying the church. Even so, verse 12, so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, verse 13, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified, built up, taught. It doesn't help him to grow. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church this is the Apostle Paul, listen. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. He said, look, edifying, built up, growing. He said, in malice, in evil, I want you to be children. I want you to be innocent. But in understanding, I want you to be men. That's what this word edify is all about. I want you to grow. I want you to be built up in your understanding of the Word of God. And he said, look, if we're speaking words that can't be understood, we're not edifying anybody. We're not building anybody up. We're not helping someone to become a mature Christian. Verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Now I want you to notice verse 22, and again this is a message on tongues, but this is interesting. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. You see what the Apostle Paul is saying? He says tongues aren't for those who are already believers. It's a sign for those who believe not. And by the way, if you go back and study the book of Isaiah, this passage is referencing, it's a sign of judgment. It's a sign of judgment. And he said, look, tongues isn't for the believer. It's a sign for the unbeliever, and the sign is a sign of judgment. Look what he says at the last part of verse 22. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. The supremacy declared. The supremacy of the Word of God. How do we edify each other? We edify each other with truth. By the way, we don't edify each other with just some happy dialogue. We edify each other with the truth of the Word of God. I don't edify anybody if I come in here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night and just talk for 5 minutes about the happenings of the week. Now, sometimes that's important, and we do that sometimes. Are you with me? That doesn't edify anybody. That doesn't build you up. That informs you, yes. But to build up and to grow you in your Christian life and to teach you in your Christian life, that doesn't edify anybody. What edifies the church is the truth. It's the Word of God. It's placing, hey, we want to edify children and we want to build edifices to the glory of God. When it comes to our children, what do they need? They need God's Word. They need the truth of God's Word. Look at verse 23, and I'm almost done reading here in this passage. Verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. We see the subject defined. Secondly, we see the supremacy declared. And I've given you there on your outline, if you have it, the Word is greater because of three reasons. In 1 Corinthians 14, the Word is declared supreme. It is declared greater because, first of all, it edifies, it exhorts, and it encourages. Would you look at verse 3 again? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. It is greater because it edifies, it exhorts, and it encourages. The Bible says in verse number 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. It edifies, it exhorts, and it encourages. That's what the Word of God does. It is greater because it edifies, exhorts, and encourages. It is greater, secondly, because it is distinct, it is definite, and it directs. Look at verses 7 through 9. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds. Listen, that's why when we preach, we need to be clear. We need to be plain about what we're preaching. Because the Bible says, look, you take an instrument gives a distinct sound. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, it's definite, it's distinct, it's definite. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, we don't have time this morning, but if we went back to the Old Testament, time and time and time again, there was a definite sound from the trumpet that called men to war, that called men to retreat, that called men to many different actions because it was a definite sound. It's the Word is greater because it edifies, it exhorts, it encourages. It's greater because it is distinct, it's clear, it's definite, and it directs. In verse number 8, for the trumpet give an uncertain sound. Who shall prepare himself to the battle? The distinct sound, the definite sound, directs the soldier to battle. By the way, doesn't the trumpet direct the soldier when to get up in the morning? There's a distinct sound. Look at verse number 9. So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, distinct, definite, and direct, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air, the subject defined. Number 2, the supremacy declared. The word is greater because it edifies, it exhorts, it encourages. It is distinct, it is definite, it directs. Let me give you a third one in verses 23 through 25. It does not confuse, but it convicts and it converts. Notice again verses 23 through 25. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place. By the way, no, don't miss that. Where did the church come together at? And all speak with tongues. Well, Pastor, I can worship God fishing on Sunday. If we're all out in the fishing boat with you, I'll grant you that. If you have a big enough boat for us all to get together and have a church service, I'm with you. I'll grant you that statement. He said, one place. They were all gathered in one place. And all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Will they not say that ye are mad? What did we say? It does not confuse. Tongues to the unbeliever, tongues to someone who speaks English and doesn't speak Spanish, doesn't speak Chinese. Chinese to them is barbarian. That's what the passage says. It's gibberish. It's like Brother Roma sometimes. You don't understand me sometimes, do you? Because his background is Russian. Now, if he started speaking Russian, he would have the upper hand, wouldn't he? Because we wouldn't understand that. Anybody in here speak Russian? Maybe someone does. Miss Carrie, do you speak Russian now? She doesn't even speak Russian. You see what he's saying? He said it confuses. If someone is speaking a different language, it is confusing to the person that doesn't understand. But look at verse 24. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. You know what the word does? It convicts. It doesn't confuse. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't times we don't have questions. I'm not saying that. That's not what the passage is saying. He said, if an unbeliever comes in and he hears a bunch of different languages, he's going to say, are y'all all mad? Are y'all crazy? He's going to be confused. But verse 24 says, but if he comes in, an unbeliever comes in and he hears the clear preaching of the Word of God, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, because it's the Word of God that pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the Bible says. It convinces us of who we are. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. The supremacy declared, it does not confuse, but it convicts and it converts. The subject defined, the supremacy declared. Thirdly, this morning, and we're done. The structures desired. What did we say the definition of edify was? It's to build, to grow, to teach. Okay, because of that, what does God desire? What kind of edifices, what kind of growth, what kind of teaching, what kind of pupils, students, does God desire? The structures desire. I want you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Ephesians. And I know we're gonna kind of repeat some things that we've said recently. But Ephesians is where we find one of the greatest discourses about what God desires when it comes to the structures. The structures desired. Remember a couple weeks ago we said in Ephesians 4, and we'll read this passage in just a moment, but the purpose of ministry and the purpose of the church is perfection. not sinless perfection, but spiritual maturity. That's God's desire for every Christian, is spiritual maturity. Not to be babes in Christ all of your... Look, I don't expect these three young men right here to be able to come and stand behind this pulpit and preach a three-point outline with points and subpoints and illustrations and all of those things. Why? Because they're still growing. They're still growing in their knowledge of the Word of God. But I'll tell you this, they're growing. But they're growing in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not spiritually mature yet. And by the way, none of us ever arrive, do we? None of us are ever perfect, are we? We're constantly growing. Even all of us that have been saved for numbers of years, maybe decades, we're still growing. We're still growing into the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The structures desired. What does God desire? First of all, letter A fitly framed building. Would you look at Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 14? Ephesians chapter number 2, we'll begin at verse number 14. The structures desire, the edifices that He desires when it comes. Now I'm speaking of us as Christians. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 14. The Bible says, He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You see, here's what He's saying. Everybody comes to Christ through the cross. And because of that, we're one body. Jew, Gentile, when He talks about two, He's talking about the Jew and the Gentile. And when Jesus Christ came, He broke down that middle partition. He broke down the wall. And now everybody, Jew, Gentile, they come together and they meet at the foot of the cross and they become one body. That's what He's saying here. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Remember last week when we talked about exalting the Savior, we asked the question, why is He worthy? Why is He worthy? We said He is worthy because of the grace that He gives, because of the blood which buys. Would you look back up at chapter number 2 in verse number 13? But now, He says, you used to be far off. You used to be without Christ. You didn't used to have a commonwealth. You didn't used to have a covenant. But now, in Christ Jesus, you, or ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Why is He worthy to exalt? Because of the blood which buys. He bought me, He redeemed me with His precious blood. Because of the grace that He gives. Verse number 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Notice this, verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. What is it that edifies us? It's the truth. It's the Word of God. It builds us. Okay, what does He desire? When we have the Word of God placed into us, when we are taught, when we are grown, when we are builded up, what does He expect? He expects a fitly framed building. That's us. If you're saved in here this morning, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, are we not? Absolutely we are. And He expects a fitly framed building. Not anything askew, everything square, everything balanced, everything perfectly in alignment because it's based on God's Word. Number one, a fitly framed building, but secondly, a firmly fixed believer. The structures desired, a fitly framed building, a firmly fixed believer. Look at verse number 11 of Ephesians chapter number 4. And this is where we were recently. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. The Bible says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting, verse 12, of the saints. That's what we said. The purpose of ministry is perfection. for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's our measure. It's Jesus Christ. It's not anybody else. We might say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm not as bad as this individual. Doesn't matter. Our measuring stick is Jesus Christ. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. That we henceforth, we're talking about a firmly fixed believer, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What is the purpose of building and teaching and growing? What is the purpose of trying to build and teach and grow young people and young adults and anybody for that matter? What's the purpose? To have firmly fixed believers. To have believers who know what they believe, know what the Bible says. They're firmly fixed in what the Bible says. By the way, not somebody's opinion, but what the Bible says. They're firmly fixed in what the Bible says. There are a lot of people in this world, and I'll say in our nation, that I respect. And I listen to them sometimes. But they're not preachers. And I take the good, I spit out the bad. Because a lot of what they say isn't necessarily based upon the Word of God. And if it's not based on the Word of God, I'll take it or leave it. See what I'm saying? I'll take it or leave it. But if it's the Word of God, I ought to be firmly fixed in it. I may agree with a politician on politics, but I don't base my salvation on that. I may agree with a politician about lower taxes and smaller government and all those different things. I may agree with a politician about that, but listen, when it comes to my Christian life, I am not grounded, I'm not fixed in politics, I am fixed in the Word of God. That's what grounds me. That's what founds me. That's what keeps me rooted is the Word of God. So what are the structures desired? A fitly framed building. A firmly fixed believer. Notice what verse 15 says. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. There's two of those elements. The truth is supreme. We've already seen that, but love. We could go to Romans 14. It talks about love, grace, and mercy being elements of edification. Let me take you to one other passage real quickly. Would you look at the book of Colossians? Colossians chapter 2. These are the two verses I mentioned earlier. A fitly framed building, a firmly fixed belief. These are the structures desired. Look, listen. I don't know the decisions that my children will make one day. I don't know. But my wife and I have done, I can't say we've done our best, we've tried, but we have done, not everything, but we've tried our best to give them the Word of God to help them to be fixed and firm in what the Bible says. So that, like we mentioned last week, if they walk into a church and the pastor gets up and says, hey, this book that you hold in your hand, that's not really the Word of God, then they'll know, hey, I need to get up and leave. Because this is the Word of God. This is what I live my life by. And they'll be able to discern a charlatan. They'll be able to discern a heretic. Those are the structures we ought to desire. A fitly framed building. A firmly fixed believer. Look at Colossians 2 verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established. Rooted and built up. Rooted and built up. Rooted and built up. Established. Not blown around with every wind of doctrine. Well, this is something new I've heard this week, and so I'm going to go to it. And boy, did you hear about this new idea this week and this new revelation this week? I'm going to tell you what, friend, we have all the revelation of the Word of God, and it's right here. Did you hear about this new teaching this week? Well, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, look, if it lines up with the Word of God, then it's not new. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I don't want it. A firmly fixed believer, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let me ask you this, and we're almost done. You stay with me, we're almost done. Why does this world, why does the world, the flesh and the devil so desire to shut down places like this? Because of the truth that is taught. You say, Pastor, that'll never happen. People aren't trying to do that. But hey, can I give you 5 minutes of information in politics right here? Have you made yourself aware of the equity, the Equality Act that's going through Congress right now? You ought to. You ought to. Why do they want to shut down places like this and churches all across our nation, all across the world that preach the truth of God's Word? Why? Because it's the truth that is taught. The world, the flesh, and the devil hates the truth because the truth exposes them for who they are. Truth. Truth. A firmly fixed believer. And the structures that are desired is fitly framed building. A firmly fixed believer. And then thirdly, lastly, go back to Ephesians 4 if you would. A fully functioning body. A fully functioning body. Ephesians chapter 4. We mentioned this recently. I won't spend a lot of time here. Verse 16. The Bible says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual. That means it's effective. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The structures desired is a fully functioning body. We mentioned this again. We preached a few weeks ago. Fully functioning body. Every member doing his part. Remember Mr. Potato Head? Or remember Potato Head? By the way, I have a Mr. Potato Head and I have a Mrs. Potato Head at my house, and I'm keeping them now. Originals. They'll be worth some money someday. Remember, you take Mr. Potato Head's arm out or his eyes, he's not fully functioning. Dear member of Maranatha Baptist Church, if you're not plugged in, you might be an eye, and if you're not plugged in, then our church isn't seeing everything it ought to see. If you're an ear and you're not plugged in the way you ought to be, our church isn't hearing fully, effectually, everything we need to hear. If you're a foot in here this morning and you're not plugged in, we're not walking, we're not working, we're not engaging the way we could. What are the structures desired? A fitly framed building, a firmly fixed believer, and a fully functioning church. Listen, I love our church. I tell you, I'm encouraged constantly and weekly. I think we do a great job. I think we function well. But let me ask us, could we function better? And let me ask us this, are we fully functioning the way that God wants us to? Are we engaged? Are we allowing ourselves to be edified? Are we allowing ourselves to be built up and to grow and to be taught in the truth so that we can be that fully functioning body? That's God's desire. Sharpening our purpose. That's our theme this year, being sharpened. Being sharpened. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, tells us if we're blunt and we're trying to work while we're blunt, we have to give more effort. If we would just sharpen ourselves, our work would be a lot more profitable. Sharpening our purpose. Are we evangelizing sinners the way that we ought? And I'll tell you this, I'll be transparent. I'm not. The Lord has convicted my heart about that. We need to be carrying tracts with us. We've mentioned that, and I don't want to belabor that, but we need to see everyone that we see as someone who may need Jesus Christ. Are we evangelizing sinners? Are we exalting the Savior? Every day, well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Lord, thank you. God, thank you for who you are. In our actions, are we exalting Him? Remember, we said, why is He worthy? And then we said, how do we honor? We honor Him with lives. For living for a cause, and more specifically, living for His cause, by loving His commandments and by lauding, extolling, honoring, praising our Christ. sharpening our purpose. I pray that we'll do so today. Friend, believer, are you an edifier? And are you allowing the Word to edify you? Because, man, we want to be an edifice to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? We want to be built up and grown and taught. We want to grow. We want to come to perfection, spiritual maturity in our Christian lives. Father, thank you for the time you've given us today. Father, please, please, please help us. Father, your desire for us many times isn't our desire. And Father, I pray that our desires would be your desires. And your desires would be our desires. And Father, that we would desire to be a fitly framed building. That we would desire to be a firmly fixed believer, not thrown about and blown about to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but just simply fixed in what your Word says. Father, that we would desire to be a fully functioning church. Effective. Effective. That every part makes it effective. Father, may that be us this morning. This local church right here in this little area of the world that few people know about. But Father, you know about it. We know about it. People in this community need to know about it. Father, we need to be fully functioning. May we be so, Lord. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jo is going to begin to play in just a moment, but the invitation is open for anybody. Friend, you might be here without Christ. I beg you to come. I beg you to come. Just take my hand and say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved today. If death were to take me today, I'm not sure where my eternal destination would be. Would it be heaven? Would it be hell? Secondly, believer, are we allowing the Lord to sharpen us? Are we allowing His Word to sharpen us? Hey, believers, are we being good edifiers? Are we edifying each other so that we can build people up and help them to grow and teach them? If not, and maybe if the Holy Spirit has dealt with us this morning, would you come? The show's going to begin to play. This platform is open if you need to make it an altar. This front pew, if you need to make it an altar. Maybe your own pew, you would make an altar. Maybe one of the aisles, you would make an altar. Listen, dear friend, we don't want this church and this body of believers, we don't want it to be an edifice for any other reason other than to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about any one person or any group of individuals. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything and everything that's ever been done in this place has been done because of Him. But friend, we ought to have a desire for this to be an edifice, this to be a building, this to be a body that exalts the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that evangelizes the sinner. That individual who's never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, that individual who hasn't grown up in a home like you've grown up in. The Lord Jesus Christ could and would and desires to transform their lives. They just need someone to come along and to tell them and to encourage them, show them what the Bible says about everlasting life, about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, thank you so much. You can be seated.